All right, so here we go. Again, my name is Molly Eggleston, and I work for You, Forecasting the Future to Protect the Public from Pandemics. I am a research coordinator at the University of Pittsburgh. I'm a part of the NIH-funded MIDAS network, MIDAS standing for Models of Infectious Disease Agent Study. I have no relationships of any kind that I would like to report to this group today. And as I mentioned, I'm a part of a national research network, and we are one of two centers of excellence that is funded and housed at the University of Pittsburgh's Public Health Dynamics Lab. And I will be talking more about that lab as I discuss some tools and models for public health decision support that is based on big data and supercomputers that we utilize and disseminate from the Public Health Dynamics Laboratory at the University of Pittsburgh. So computational models of infectious disease hold great potential for studying the interactions between epidemic dynamics and realistic intervention strategies. And the models rely on data acquisition and curation, which is big data, statistical inference, pattern detection, and model development. And we do all of those things at the Public Health Dynamics Lab. And of course, we have a model for our modeling. So it all starts basically with big data or with solid data, with clean, robust data that is in a computable format that is comprehensive, that is uniform, that is accessible to us as researchers and can be shared. And all of this data is entered into models, or it's manipulated, or it's analyzed in order to help make evidence-based decisions. And so what's interesting about our family of modeling tools is that it's all towards the end of making evidence-based decisions. And while a lot of our tools are very sophisticated and technical, we're really working on user interfaces that allow decision makers and other public health professionals who are not computer scientists to enter in some parameters and see some outcomes so that we can plan and respond to the most likely threats or the most serious threats. So I've mentioned several times the Public Health Dynamics Laboratory, and we are housed at the University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health. We are really an interdisciplinary collaboration. This is the most interdisciplinary work that I've done in public health because computational modeling of infectious diseases is really a marriage of computational scientists, computer scientists, and public health folks. So we have all kinds of programmers, and they speak all these languages like C++ and R and I tease and say, I'm not a Slytherin, I'm not parcel tongue, I can't speak Python. And none of them laugh. And then within public health, we have the full disciplines of the behavioral scientists and people who do viral evolution and pathogen evolution and people who are infectious disease docs. And they're all working on setting the parameters in the model, or they are working on setting rules for agent behavior in the models so we know how an agent will react, whether they will decide to accept or reject a vaccine, stay home when sick, those kinds of things. So what we do in the Public Health Dynamics Laboratory is a big deal. We work with big data. We do big deal stuff. We promote systems thinking in public health, which if anybody in the audience is certified in public health like me, that's one of the domains we have to earn continuing ed in. We do apply the rigorous computational skills and way of thinking to public health problems. We introduce health experts to modeling and simulation. We build interdisciplinary bridges. As I said, this is really a marriage. We build support tools for public health decision makers, and we fill the pipeline, if you will, through teaching students and other professionals and other faculty members how to analyze, represent, and study complex dynamics like infectious disease dynamics. And there is a handout that's available online if you would like to download it and learn more about the Public Health Dynamics Lab. Specific to preparedness, in fall 2002, we hosted a conference in Pittsburgh, a national conference, the Dynamics of Preparedness, that was specific to looking at the dynamics of preparedness in siting of pods or points of distribution, using agent-based models, looking at legal frameworks that allow for rapid response in emergencies. And one of the products of that national conference, Dynamics of Preparedness, is a special issue of the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice that is uniquely devoted to the dynamics of preparedness, and it's basically the peer-reviewed journal articles that were the presentations. You see the cover on the screen, and I also brought a few handouts in the back if you'd like a paper copy. You can see that special issue of the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice. We have other big journal articles that are coming out about Project TECO that I'll be talking about some more later. I'm embargoed from saying anything more about that. And we also have a nice paper recently in BMC Public Health on FRED, which is our agent-based model. And I'll talk some more about FRED. We are always glad to come to events like this to talk to public health folks about computational modeling of infectious diseases and training other folks to make decisions based on scenarios and models and forecasts. So we did participate in the NACHO Preparedness Summit most recently, and we provided participants with practical guidance on how modelers and public health preparedness planners can start work together to achieve optimal surveillance, which gives us the data that we need to populate the models, and decision making. So this is some of the audience that was at NACHO. We were also very involved in 2009. We were embedded at BARDA, which is the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, and that's when we were looking at the pandemic flu of 2009. And on the left side column of the screen, you'll see what we did. And on the right-hand side of the screen, you see the value of modeling in public health preparedness, sort of the abstract or conceptual model, if you will, of the value of modeling. So we did run a lot of scenarios, and we did run a lot of models, so we could try and do predictions, and we make little quick movies that I'll show you that show the spread of a disease in a certain population. And our public health dynamics lab, through our FRED agent-based model, has the ability to run an agent-based epidemic forecast for any county in the U.S. So we actually have a tool where you can plug in your city or your county or your state, and it will pull that up on a map, and it will have the real population based on the census data, and we can drop a disease seed into it and watch the movie of it spread as people become infected and recovered and sick. Okay, so here's one of the movies that I promised. Oh, there it was. All right. So if you can see, that's H1N1 in 2009 in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'll play it again. As you would imagine, it starts in our urban centers. In Pennsylvania, we have two urban centers, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and that's where you see the most density of color spreading, and then it goes into our more rural areas and declines as people become recovered. So this is what we did for BARDA, and we did it for every state in the U.S., and then we did it nationally. So we made maps like this so that you could see where people were going to get sick and how it was going to, where it was going to be affected first. So you could start making decisions about whether or not to close schools and where to put ventilators and what to do about your healthcare workforce, things like that. So FRED is one of the products in our family of computational tools and decision support tools. So FRED is an acronym. It stands for Framework for Reconstruction of Epidemic Dynamics. It is named after Pittsburgh's most famous citizen, Fred Rogers. He still continues to do good. And it is based on a simulation engine that runs at the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center. So the work that we do is not just based on laptops and PCs. It requires time at a supercomputing center, which we get through our collaboration with the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center. There is a visualization tool called Gaia, which makes those pretty little maps and movies that I just showed you. And as I mentioned, we work with a variety of public health scientists and professionals, including people who do pathogen evolution and viral evolution and strain typing, people who are policy experts who look at whether or not you can make people stay home when they're sick, what happens if you close the buses, can you do a mandatory immunization of healthcare workers, and then we also have social scientists and psychologists who look at behavior change models, because as we know, humans are not always perfectly rational, and we don't always wash our hands or accept a vaccine or stay home when we're sick or do the things that in a perfect world we might do. And then we are really working on creating some very friendly user interfaces for our tools. So Fred now has a web page. He has a mobile application. So on a mobile phone, you can pull up Fred and you can dial in your city, your county, or your state, set up an RNOT, which is the reproductive number or the infectivity of a disease, and it will shoot you back in a couple of seconds a little movie of your county or your city. And so you can get an idea of what would happen during a regular flu season in your community or during a particularly severe flu season in your community. This is the mobile app, as I mentioned. So you can select the epidemic parameters, you select your location, you can select the proportion of your population that is immunized. I think usually about 30% of the U.S. population gets the seasonal influenza immunization. It may vary in your community, so that's a parameter slider that you can set. And then it will give you the epidemic curve over time, and then it will also give you a little movie. That horizontal screenshot is a movie like we just saw of Pennsylvania. And FRED is based on a synthetic population developed by RTI, and it is all based on the U.S. Census data. And it is also includes varying strains of the virus, because the virus changes, as you know, as it moves around when you talk about influenza. It also contains information about vaccine delivery schedules and the national strategic stockpile and things like that. Another one of the sons of FRED, if you will, is FRED Navigator. This is an educational tool designed for a K-12 deployment, and it takes sort of canned runs from FRED and has them all populated in a package that can be installed onto computers, so students with the leadership of their teacher in an infectious disease class or a health class can learn about infections and contagion and epidemics, and they can vary parameters like, again, the R-naught, the percentage of a population that is immunized against the vector of concern, and they can take a look at interventions like school closures, at what point you close the school, what percentage of your school population is showing symptoms, so it's going to be the trigger to close, how long do you keep it closed for in terms of days or weeks, see if that flattens out the epidemic curve or what difference that makes. And again, there's a little movie. And so currently it is set up for Allegheny County, because that's where the University of Pittsburgh is. However, FRED can do a run for any county in the U.S. We also have Gaia, which I mentioned. Gaia is the visualizer for the FRED runs, and so she can show us the movies based on the maps of what is happening with the runs, and you can get these delivered to your smartphone through the FRED mobile. You can also request that FRED runs be run. We have some limited places outside of the U.S. where we can do FRED runs. It just depends on the availability of the data for us to make the model rigorous. We also have Velma. We love to name things. So Velma, I don't think she's named after the Scooby-Doo character, but I don't know. But she is another visualization software tool, not so much a computational model, but she allows us to visualize the specific strains and DNA of a virus. And this is important to feed into a larger model like FRED. When we look at strain typing for influenza, we need to know if we can find out if people in a household were infected with the same strain of the virus. And we can also see if people are infected more than once as the virus traveled around, if how much it mutated between the first time it infected a person and the second time. We also are looking at whether or not infection with a certain strain of influenza confers any immunity for later strains of influenza, or actually pneumonia. So this is another tool that we have. We also have Lena. Lena is the legal network analyzer. And this is a flat picture of a very dynamic thing. It looks like one of those toddler toys that's you know, it's all on elastic strings, and it has wooden beads and wooden dowels, and they can stretch it and they can collapse it. That's what Lena really looks like, so forgive the flat presentation. But what Lena really looks at is, for every state in the U.S., it looks at all of the legal relationships. So this is really based on social network analysis. And it takes a look at the legal relationships between all of the possible players in a public health emergency. And so is there, by law or statute or code, anything that's written down and researchable, a relationship between the public health department and the Department of Transportation? Because you might need them to shut down the buses. You might need them to redirect the buses so the healthcare workers can get to work. And do they have a legal mandate on paper right now? You can see the relationships, the strengths of the relationships, and you can also compare those relationships between entities from state to state. So you might say, oh, California has a really dense network. Oh, our state doesn't so much. What happens if we have an emergency and we need to work with the you know, the area agency on aging, or we need to work with our Department of Environmental Protection? So that is another tool that is available for folks who are looking at public health preparedness based on models. And we also have Project TECO. And we're rather proud of Project TECO. The flagship publication will be coming out later this month. And what Project TECO is open access to public health data. So it's a project to enhance the availability of public health data from around the world for analysis and decision making. So what we really did was we started with a precursor of the CDC's morbidity and mortality reports, which was the weekly notifiable disease reports, and we found all of them, which was no small trick in and of itself. We found all of the dusty, yellowed, papered copies that were, you know, molding away in boxes all over, and we put them all into a computable format, and so all of that information is now entered into the Project TECO database, and as soon as the publication comes out at the end of this month, it will be available for all sorts of researchers and students and decision makers to take a look at the trends and also the impact of vaccination on all of these reportable diseases. And so it's an ideal database for preparedness decision support. It includes detailed spatial temporal data. It describes past instances of similar events, whether it's a pertussis outbreak or a mumps outbreak or any other reportable disease. And all of the data is easily accessible, it's computable, and it's disaggregated. And this is really the model of the data that we want on the front end of our model of models, is to have solid data so that we can populate our model so that we can do the runs and the forecasts and make solid decisions. So there is an example of Project TECO. I think it's teco.pitt.edu. And very soon it will be searchable, again, as soon as the embargo is lifted and the publication comes out, and you can get public health reportable disease data going back to 1988. So in conclusion, the work that we do at the Public Health Dynamic Lab really is interdisciplinary, and it shows that the computational modeling does work best when modelers and decision makers do work together. So when we do the work operationally in the lab, it's both computer scientists and public health decision makers, and we really need input from the public health decision makers to help us design the model and see what's realistic. One of the things that we'll be working on if we receive continued funding is the costs of certain interventions. If you close schools, that has a cost. I always say if you close schools, the teen pregnancy rate is going to go up, but that's not actually based on evidence. And modeling is certainly a key step in the decision support process, as was our experience during the 2009 pandemic influenza. We were embedded with BARDA, and we were doing runs based on the new data as it came in. You know, basically we'd get the phone call, we'd get the new data, and as long as it took us to do the runs, we'd call back in 2 hours and say, this is what we found out. And part of the effort to do computational modeling for forecasting for public health preparedness is to make sure that we have good, reliable, solid surveillance data and demographic data from the census and other sources that we can access so we can make sure that our models are representative of the real world. And agent-based modeling is a proven tool for decision-making in public health preparedness. We're using it now for MERS coronavirus and other things. We use it for seasonal flu. We look at hospital infections like C. diff and MRSA and things like that. And so models can help us get an idea of what's coming and what difference various interventions might make. And it allows us to do all of these things in a safe sandbox, if you will, so that we're not actually intervening on humans. So that is the work of the Public Health Dynamics Lab. Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you about it. And this is some of the tools that are available to you. Again, there's some handouts in the back and also online. And I will be sure to entertain questions with my colleagues when we are all done. Thank you.